All right, and we are joined here now by our third and fourth place finishers in today's race, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. and Daniel Suarez. Reminder, if you have a question for either Ricky or Daniel, just be sure to address who the question is for before you ask it.
Well, and I'm here as well.
Oh, sorry, Denny. I didn't see you there. Denny Hamlin is here as well, our second place finisher in today's race. We will go ahead and start with questions. We'll start with Stephen Conley. Go ahead, Stephen.
Daniel, this is for Daniel Suarez. Daniel, they say that dirt is really kind of the great equalizer for a lot of drivers, a lot like the draft at Daytona and Talladega. When you looked at the races prior to the season, was Bristol one of those that you circled on the calendar thinking, you know what, this might be the best shot that we have really early in the season?
Well, I'm going to be very honest with you. I love racing at Bristol. It's one of my favorite racetracks. But when they announced that we're going to be coming here, with dirt in one of the races, I wasn't too sure about it because I never been in dirt in my life. In Mexico, we don't have ovals in dirt, at least that I know. Honestly, I'm just very, very proud of my team that they brought a very fast car and I was able to learn as I went. But it was a challenge, you know. Probably 5 days ago was my first time ever on a dirt car. And it was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed a lot. And I enjoyed a lot as well the entire weekend. So, you know, overall, I felt that we're very close. That always, you know, bring a smile to my face. But it wasn't close enough. So we have to keep working. And now I'm excited, actually, that we're going to come back next year with another shot to race and compete for the win in Bristol on dirt.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you.
And a quick correction there. The 47 finished second and the 11 finished third. Our next question will come from Giselle with Fox Deportes. Go ahead, Giselle.
Thank you. My question is for Daniel. Dani, ¿cómo estás? Muy buen resultado hoy. Nos comentabas, ¿no?, antes lo que confiaste en este equipo, el cambiar, el irte a Nuevos Aires, y hoy, bueno, después de 7 carreras ha rendido frutos. Desde la pasada ya venías empujando esa buena decisión, y que nos cuentes cómo fue esta experiencia de correr en tierra y de liderar por 58 vueltas.
Bueno, primero que nada, un gusto saludarte, Giselle. Bueno, tú sabes, tú también obviamente creciste y naciste en México y no tenemos óvalos de tierra, entonces esto para mí era totalmente nuevo. Apenas hace 5 días tuve que manejar 4 horas con mi crew chief para poder tener mi primera experiencia en tierra. Cuando me preguntaban si yo tenía experiencia en tierra, yo les decía que solamente en cuatrimotos, entonces realmente eso no servía mucho, pero ha sido una experiencia algo interesante los últimos 5 días de aprender rápido y tratar de acoplarme a lo que tenemos, pero bueno, gracias a Dios y gracias a todo mi equipo, construyeron un carro muy rápido que me hizo poder hacer mi trabajo un poco más sencillo.
¿Y esas vueltas que lideraste, cómo te sentiste?
Me sentí bien, sinceramente yo pensé que íbamos a tener una buena oportunidad para poder ganar la carrera. Sin embargo, algo que obviamente tengo que seguir aprendiendo es que las pistas de tierra cambian demasiado. Y una vez que aplicaron un poco de agua y limpiaron un poco la pista prácticamente era otra. Entonces, el balance de nuestro carro se perdió un poco. Claramente las últimas 50 vueltas no éramos tan rápidos como las 50 antes. Y bueno, se perdió un poco el balance, pero son cosas que tenemos que aprender para el próximo año.
Gracias, Dani.
Gracias.
Our next question will come from Dustin Long.
Thank you. I had one for Ricky and one for Denny. Ricky, certainly you talked about working a lot with Steve Swift on the track conditions. You know, what can be learned from this experience moving forward since this race will be around next year and how you felt things went?
Yeah, Steve and the boys did a great job. Obviously, you know, I watched every race last week and they did a great job with all the race cars on the racetrack, knowing that they had to prep the track a little different for our race cars. Obviously, you can't have it wet with the cars overheating and our grill screens and windshields and things like that. So they prepped the track to the best of their ability. Obviously, all the rain didn't help. And, you know, they reacted and did stuff as best they could. And, you know, came out here last night just to check out the track and kind of talk to them about, you know, what they were going to do between the stages and the competition cautions. And I think they did a great job. May have got a little bit behind there. You know, when we started running single file, all the dust just set in that second lane. And so I was one advocating for, you know, single file restarts. And I felt like, you know, NASCAR did a great job adapting to that because, you know, like Steve O'Donnell said, that's things that you see in dirt racing when track conditions just change and kind of out of your control at that point. But I think it made the racing better and a lot better there at the end. So, you know, hats off to everybody at NASCAR and everybody on the track crew.
And for Denny, with that going to the single file restarts at the end, how much that did that impact what you were able or weren't able to do at the end on the restart?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to say. I mean, if I'm beside them, I'm in a better spot than if I'm behind them on a green white checkered. You know, I had an opportunity there to choose whether I was going to make a move on them on the high side or the low side. I chose high, and you know, the track was just too slick up there at the time. So, you know, certainly, you know, he didn't get a very good restart. I mean, I was on him entering turn one. So that tells me if, you know, if I could start beside him, then I had an opportunity there to be ahead of him getting in one. But, you know, it is what it is. And you know, we all had to adapt. We knew, you know, after halfway or so when they changed it, that was going to be the rule for the rest of the race. So that those are the cards we're dealt.
Denny, one other last thing is why didn't you just go through him? I mean, this is short track racing, bump and runs is the standard formula. So instead of going high or low, why not through?
Because I think me and the 22 race differently. I don't have that mentality.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Our next question will come from Jordan Bianchi. Go ahead, Jordan.
I have two questions. This first question is for Ricky. Ricky, when NASCAR returns next year, what would you like to see done with the cars? Would you like to see anything done with the cars to have them better adapted to dirt racing?
I think that's a really good question because we're bringing back a totally different race car next year. So, you know, I think us teams learned a lot throughout the weekend and what not to do and what we can do better and drivers as well. But when you're bringing back a totally different race car, it's going to be – it's going to be all new. So hopefully, you know, Goodyear is able to work on a tire that we can have a little bit longer run. Our Kroger Camaro was really good on the long run today, and I didn't have the short run speed. So I needed those long runs, you know, so hopefully, you know, with the package that we have when we come back, we can, you know, we can get those 75-lap, 100-lap runs, you know, depending on what it be. But it's going to be tough. I think the track crew learned a lot with these heavy race cars and you know, what they need to do to be better. And they adapted well, like I said, with the rain, but you know, those are things that are always changing with dirt racetracks, and they did a good job. And next year is going to be just as much of a toss up with a different race car.
My second question, this is for Danny. Danny, this is kind of a big picture question, but is there something to take out of this in terms of trying new things, being willing to try new things, whether it's the race format, whether it's not having live pit stops, that kind of thing that can be implemented, maybe other races and, you know, different venues?
No, I mean, pit stops has been part of NASCAR racing for a long time. I think on the dirt, you know, absolutely leave it as is. We don't need to have competitive pit stops when it comes to dirt, but you know, you can't keep cutting the grass, cut this, cut that, you know, eventually you're down to dirt and you got nothing left. So you can't keep cutting the grass, and the grass is our racing and NASCAR racing. So you know, hopefully we can, you know, keep things, you know, somewhat, you know, a little bit authentic from the way it's been for a long time. But absolutely, I love the nimbleness of our schedule. They were able to, you know, take us to, you know, a Bristol dirt race. We're going Circuit of America. So a lot of different venues. That part is very, very positive. But, you know, definitely don't want to see them cut out any more competition when it comes to little stuff like pit road.
Thank you.
Our next question will come from Jacob Seelman. Go ahead, Jacob.
Thanks, Sam. This question is for Daniel. I know it's on dirt, so it doesn't necessarily equate to what you guys are facing the rest of the year, but what does this do for Trackhouse just in terms of confidence, morale around the shop, your confidence with the team going forward? I mean, you know, what do you take away from this?
Yeah, I mean, it was already a good day for us, you know, running up front, leading laps, and staying in the top 10, top 5 the entire race. But if you look at it, last week, we were very similar. I mean, we didn't lead laps, but I made a mistake in the last pit stop, and that took away our chance to finish either 5th or 6th. So it's the second week in a row that we've been running strong. And, you know, I don't see this as, okay, we run good because we were on dirt. You know, I feel like everyone at Trackhouse Racing has done an incredible job to work hard on these cars, you know, getting better, obviously with a lot of support from RCR, engines and chassis and everything. So I feel like, you know, we still have a long ways to go from where we want to be, but we're heading in the right direction. So hopefully we can compete in the top 10, top 5, like we've been doing in the last couple of weeks in the weekly basis. And eventually we're gonna get a trophy.
What were you missing at the end? I mean, you were so good throughout stage 2 once you got the lead. What was missing that final stage, or what changed?
Well, the race changed completely. I was actually talking to Danny about it. You know, they did a lot of things to the racetrack that, you know, to some cars, you know, it came to them, and some others, you know, they lost the balance a little bit. Unfortunately, I was one of those that lost the balance a little bit. For some reason, my rear grip wasn't the same. I felt that my car was capable to challenge for the race lead before that. I kind of like had a plan in my mind, but you know, the last 50 laps, for some reason, I lost that grip, and I just couldn't do much about it. I felt that from being a first or second place car, I became a fifth to fourth place car. That was exactly where we ended. So, you know, overall, you know, it's a learning curve. Like I said, I'm still learning about all this dirt racing. My first time was actually just 5 days ago, so I wasn't expecting the racer to change that much, but it did. So that's something that I have to keep in mind for next year.
Next question will come from Bob Hockris. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, this is for, I have a couple for Denny. Denny, first, they announced that they're going to do this next year. So what would you, is there anything that you particularly would want to suggest to say, hey, do this differently?
I don't know. You know, I think that you probably need to get with the dirt guys a little bit more or ask them, but I mean, the dust hindered the ability, the single file racing as much as anything. You could not get out of the groove or else you were just running on dust. So I don't know if there's different dirt that doesn't produce as much dust as this one. I know they really did a lot of research on the dirt itself. You know, a couple of them said that if you didn't run during their daylight, dust wouldn't be as bad. I thought the racing was good. It really was. It was almost like the old Bristol. If you got out of the lane, you know, you got shuffled. So that part of it was really encouraging, but it's just, you know, for fans' sake, for visibility, the driver's sake, I think a lot of the wrecks happened because of the dust and we couldn't see anything. So just that part. And then when you got the new car, I mean, those things got a pan on the bottom of them. I don't know. I mean, these holes, somebody better get a tape measure. Some of them are at least like a foot deep. I mean, they are super deep, and I don't know if that new car can stand that.
And is it any more frustrating to run second to Logano? And I assume, like, you know that he's going to – I mean, you complained on the radio that he cut you off. I assume that's kind of expected in that type of situation.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's doing it, what he has to do to protect the lead, and I'm trying to get it from him. And I knew that – you know, I just wasn't aggressive enough. I should have just kind of, you know, shoved him out of the, you know, when I had position on the bottom, I should have just moved up and got him in the dust and got rid of him. But I wanted to pass him clean, and I didn't, and so I didn't win.
Thank you.
Denny, thanks so much for your time today. Congratulations.
Appreciate it.
Our next question will come from Lee Spencer. Go ahead, Lee.
Thank you. Ricky, just kind of curious, I know this is a woulda, coulda, shoulda, but is this a different race if Larson and Bell are able to go the distance to the end? I mean, I know Larson remained in there, but my God, he came from the back of the field and was up to fourth when he ran into Bell.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, there's a lot of races that, you know, change and, you know, the flows of them change, especially when, you know, different things happen throughout the race. And so, you know, they're two of the best dirt track racers in the country, and don't do it full time. So, you know, they had the top working really well. I don't think they would have made the top work. You know, there towards the end, the rubber that got down on the racetrack was just too fast around the bottom. But obviously they would have been contending for the win. They showed that they were really fast. And so, you know, the 22 car looked good in practice. The 11, the 19 looked good in practice. I think the 99 did a phenomenal job all day. You know, just working his way up, and obviously his car was really fast as well. So, you know, a lot of cars kind of came and went. I felt like mine was really good. You know, if we had 75 lap runs, I felt like we had one of the best cars. The first 15, 20 laps, I was terrible. So, you know, definitely things would have been totally different. You know, no matter who was out there, the 18, you know, obviously got off to a great start and overheated, I'm assuming, running the top. So, yeah, they would have been battling for the win. I'm sure of it.
And is there any reason not to bring these cars back next year? I mean, I know we're going to the Gen 7 and what have you, but rather than, you know, building a dirt purpose car, I mean, couldn't we just recycle these and save the teams a ton of money?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure what all the RTA and NASCAR do in their meetings. You know, I think a lot of the teams would, crew guys would advocate, you know, using these cars, especially with everything that we learned this weekend. Maybe we could put on a better race using the same car with the notes that we had. But, you know, I don't know if the owners and you know, the teams want to, you know, keep switching back and forth between race cars throughout the year. So that's not really up to us drivers. We get out and drive whichever one that we can. And, you know, but I do think the racing could be pretty good if we brought these same race cars back.
Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Our next question will come from Chris Knight. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, Daniel. Just while following up on your performances the last couple of weeks, how do you feel about going to Martinsville in a couple of weeks?
I feel good. You know, for now, you know, I'm really looking forward to sit down a little bit, to relax for a few days, and trying to see everything that we have done in the last month and a half, either good or bad, and what can we do better. But I definitely believe that this team is very good, and we just keep getting better and better. And I'm just very excited and happy to be back racing with these guys, you know. I feel like Martinsville has been a good place for me in the past. I'm really looking forward to, like I said, a few days off and then come back with my group and work hard and try to build a good piece for Martinsville. I'm sure we're going to have a lot of fun there.
Can you talk about your relationship with Travis Mack? Is it better than you expected after the first seven races?
Yeah, I really enjoy a lot working with Travis. He's very smart. He's a great leader, a great person that work extremely good with people. And he keeps me down. He calls me down the entire time. I'm the kind of person that I get excited very easy, and he does a great job making sure that I'm almost always, you know, calm down and relax on things. He doesn't get, you know, to the chip on the RPM too often, which is a good thing. So I really enjoy working with Travis, working with everyone at Trackhouse Racing. Everyone does an amazing job. We have a very good relationship, very good chemistry, and I feel like you will only get better from here.
Thank you, Daniel.
Thank you, buddy.
Our next question will come from the chat from Zach Sterniolo. For Ricky, this has been an excellent start to the season for you and your team. First top 10, let alone top 5. What changes have been made heading into the year to improve the team's performance?
Yeah, we really focused on just being more consistent, you know, week in and week out. We had some really high moments last year and some really low moments. And so we're just trying to even things out and you know, take the speed of our race cars and make sure we execute when we're at the racetrack, when we're in the shop, and just being prepared. You know, that's with, you know, starting with me, the things I do behind the wheel, the things I do off the racetrack, preparing, you know, going into the weekend and just getting that mindset, you know, going into each race that, you know, it's one race at a time. And, you know, we didn't get off to the hottest start. We struggled a little bit at the 500, you know, had a couple mistakes that cost us at the road courses, but really other than that, we've stuck to our game plan and done everything that we've wanted to do and accomplish every week. And so, you know, coming into the Bristol Dirt event, I felt like, you know, I was going to be comfortable on the racetrack, but, you know, I felt like, you know, these are the best drivers out there, and they were going to adapt, and their teams are going to adapt and bring good race cars as well. So I didn't want to put too much emphasis on, you know, hey, we have to go win. And so we methodically worked our way throughout this race of, you know, getting our race car better, not freaking out early in the race, knowing that the track conditions were going to change and probably come around to the balance of our race car. And so we did that, got our first top five, top 10 of the year, and, you know, trying to, you know, keep that momentum going in to an off weekend and, you know, start back fresh when we get going again.
Ricky, thanks so much for your time and congratulations.
Thank you.
Next question will come from Eduardo Olmos. Go ahead, Eduardo.
Thank you. Daniel, en español, ya lo has comentado hace un momento, ¿qué pasó ahí en el final de la carrera en cuanto al rendimiento que te caí? Bueno, se te complicó luchar por la victoria.
Thank you, boy. Sabes que aprendiendo de las carreras en tierra, obviamente soy totalmente nuevo en todo esto todavía y la pista cambió demasiado en las últimas 50 vueltas cuando sacaron las camionetas con agua y humedecieron toda la pista. La pista era prácticamente otra y sabía que iba a cambiar, pero no sabía para dónde. No sabía si iba a ser más tight, más loose, qué hacer. Y creo que empeoramos un poco en las últimas 50 vueltas, desafortunadamente. Realmente no empeoramos mucho, empeoré un poco, pero los otros tres carros que estaban adelante mejoraron más que nosotros, mucho más que nosotros. Entonces, son cosas que tenemos que aprender y ponerlas en nuestra mente para poder mejorar para el próximo año.
¿Con qué te quedas de este arranque de campaña? ¿Sientes más cerca la primera victoria?
Sí, definitivamente. Estoy contento con todos en Trackhouse Racing, Justin Marks, Ty Norris, obviamente todo el apoyo de RCR. Ha sido bueno. Sin embargo, obviamente queremos más. Creo que el futuro luce bien, pero hay mucho trabajo que hacer.
Muy bien, buen trabajo. Gracias. Thank you.
Gracias.
Our final question will come from Kelly Crandall. Go ahead, Kelly.
Thank you. Daniel, I just am curious, at what point during the day did you feel comfortable or feel like you got the hang of this dirt racing thing?
Probably between lap 50 to 100 or so, I felt like, okay, the car is actually pretty good and I can make some moves and we were, you know, getting into the top 10 and I was still passing cars. Obviously, when I went into the lead, I said, okay, so maybe we can have a shot to win this thing. And obviously, you know, the track kept changing and that's probably when, you know, where I lacked some of the experience on dirt. You know, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to ask for in the last 50 laps. I knew that they were doing, you know, putting a lot of water on the racetrack, but I had no idea what to change. I even asked my crew chief, Travis, I said, hey, should we make an adjustment to tight, to loose? He said, I had no idea. So, you know, we were just hoping for the best. And unfortunately, it didn't work out. But overall, you know, on and off, it was a very, very solid day. We're back running up front for 2 weeks in a row, and that's something to be proud of. But obviously, we can put our arms down. We have to keep working and keep building for after the break.
Daniel, thanks so much, and congratulations on the great run today.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.